You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 134 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is November 27th, 2017, and from Studio 6 in Denver, Colorado, I am Kick Tripod, and with me is the crew. Let's jump on over to Kansas City first with the hostess with the mostess. What kind of, are those Audio-Technica headphones, JR?
Yeah, they are. I don't remember what, I mean, these things are like 6 or 7.
You've had them since the beginning, man. I think you've.
I've had them for a long time. I've had them for probably, I think I bought them in 2011. So
I don't even know what your ears look like, if I'm being honest with you. I think.
No, I mean, that's fine because I don't know what my ears look like either because I don't look at them.
You don't have a mirror?
I don't have a phone to take pictures of myself. It's weird.
You don't?
No.
I don't take pictures anymore. I just send animojis. That's all I do.
I just wear these headphones all the time, like everywhere. Like if you've ever seen pictures of me,
it's like always earmuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
They're like a part of me now.
Cool. Good to see
you. Doesn't actually have ears.
Yeah. Good to see you, JR. Let's go over to, why did I want to say Dachshund? What is, that's a type of dog, right? Nashua, New Hampshire. Hey, it's Danny Donuts. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Yeah, you know. That's it. Yeah, you know.
It's a Monday.
Yeah, you know.
We can chalk it up to the Mondays. It's a case of the Mondays.
It's I've gotten, like, for some reason, I haven't been able to sleep the last 3 nights. I go to bed at, like, midnight, and I fall asleep about 6:30 a.m. and wake up at, like, 11:30. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's like an esports schedule. It's weird.
Dude, I'm like almost the opposite. I go to bed at midnight and then I've been waking up at like 5 or 6.
So it's like.
No.
Just 17 like hours?
No.
The life of a Hearthstone pro is hard, okay? It's real difficult. Where are you? I just realized this.
Where am I?
Yeah, like, where's your bed? Where's your everything?
I moved it around. I had to change the feng shui, you know?
The feng shui. Can you spell that for me?
I could, but this isn't a spelling bee. This is a podcast, John.
It is absolutely a spelling bee. Don't use words you can't spell. So that's your bedroom. Just changed around a little bit. Got a little humidifier going.
Yeah, I basically moved the bed like off to the side so I have like room to actually move because
think that you're not streaming from your bedroom. I did that.
I mean, no, that wasn't really why. It was more because like since I got this chair, it's like too big that I can't go like through the walkway without like hitting the chair at night, if you know what I mean.
How do you like that chair?
I like it a lot.
You like it?
It's a nice chair.
Feel like you're
nice
in a
chair.
Race car?
I do, but it's not actually at all. It's more like a Verta of gear.
What?
It's all a Verta gear. I don't know, dude.
Can you spell that word?
He's just.
Isn't that me not reading Spanish?
I don't know. It's on all my jerseys. I can spell it. I have it right there.
Oh, it's a sponsor. Hashtag not sponsored. Yeah. Cool. All right, cool. I was like, I thought we had the same chair at first. And then I looked at him like, no, not quite the same. All right, that's it. That's enough. That's enough small talk for the week. We did a pretty good job. 4 minutes. Let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone. You know what? We don't have time. Anyone have any stories they want to tell before we start reviewing show notes? And I know, JR, you've got some stuff.
One very quick thing.
Yeah.
That I want to. So I've been doing the Extra Life streaming thing. Raising money for the Children's Miracle Network. head over to twitch.tv/EldorianBP. That's where I've been streaming. But I'm giving away 60 Kobolds and Catacombs packs if we can hit my $1,000 goal by the time the set releases.
Cool.
So right now we're at $210, so we've got a ways to go. Got about 10 days, I imagine, I believe. But we've had some people donate this week, and I just wanted to give a quick thanks to Tara, Sam Benson, Alfred, Robert, and Jason for donating this week. And if you guys can help us get there to 1,000, I'll buy 60 packs. If we don't get to 1,000, I will buy, I believe, 15 packs at the end of December. So you won't get it on release day if we don't hit our goal by release day.
Tell you what. If it helps, if you get there, let's give away 2 Wellmet coaching sessions as well. I'll foot the bill. So
sounds good.
Sweet.
We'll do that too.
There it is. So if you want to get some coaching, it's a lot of Ray's expensive, man. Ray and Danny, like, they don't come cheap. 40 dust a show to get these guys on the show. It's not cheap at all. But yeah, so if you want to get some coaching/ an hour of game time with a well-met host of your choice, which will probably end up being Ray or Danny or JR, go ahead, donate, get to that 1,000 point. Just put like well-met or something in there, or I don't know. JR will figure it out.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. That's good enough. All right. Anything else from you guys? Cool.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
You know they can go.
All right. Well, there's probably some news stuff. I guess the big thing is December 7th, all but confirmed, would you guys say, for Kobolds and Catacombs?
It feels that way.
I hope so, but yeah. It's really ironic because I'm pretty sure that December 7th is the due date for deck lists for some tournaments like WESG. So I have no idea how in the world that's going to work, because you can't even, depending on when they release it and like when the deck lists are due time wise, like there's a chance that in certain regions, like you can't even make the decks yet. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I don't know how that's going to work. That's going to be real weird.
Maybe they just don't let you use any of the new ones.
That would make sense, but the tournament isn't for like till like the weekend or something. The deck lists are just due earlier.
I mean, the weekend makes sense. If it was like it's not until the end of December, I'd be like, yeah, that's awkward. They need to move that day back a day.
Yeah, usually it's due like a few days before or a couple days before the tournament, something like that.
So
yeah, December 7th is on a Thursday. So if it's a weekend, that's just a day later, right? So I doubt they would have
Hearthstone days. That's like 10. That's like 10 days.
Yeah, and Hearthstone tournament admin days, like that can be some time. But yeah, so it looks like December 7th. Maybe, who knows? But that's the grumblings around the internet. But we've got a bunch of cards to review. And in the interest of time and what you really want to hear, let's talk about some new cards. All right. So first, oh, that's the wrong thing. Which card are we talking about first?
Zola.
Zola the Gorgon.
Isn't Zola a type of cheese?
It Gorgonzola. Yeah, absolutely is.
Yeah. I think this is like the World of Warcraft Medusa.
It's not even a real like character in World of Warcraft. It is literally a name they came up with for the memes.
Wait, really?
It's a cheesy
card. It's Gorgonzola, the type of cheese.
Yeah.
It's just because it's golden cards. So let me read it. So Zola the Gorgon is a 3-mana 2/2 neutral legendary. Reads Battlecry. Choose a friendly minion. Add a golden copy of it to your hand.
Oh, cheese, I get it. It's Gorgonzola. If you spell like, if you, okay, it's like,
oh my god,
the cheese bat. Oh my god, that's genius.
Awkward. so awkward. Ray. The most obvious thing sometimes, man.
Just, you guys get it? It's yeah. Gorgonzola. If you take out the za,
if you, yeah. No, if you take out the, you get it. Got it. So anyways.
Yeah, it makes, it's the cheese.
Anyways, there you go. Free to play players, a nice neutral legendary minion. Get some gold cards in your collection, kind of. Like, obviously, this is the best card we've seen so far in the set, right, Danny?
Yeah, I like it. It's a pretty cool. It's a meme card. It's probably not on the for a competitive player. It might not be the best. It actually has some niche uses, which I'm afraid that you guys might blow it out of the water. But there is some niche uses in Wild for this card, specifically Reno Mage, because Reno Mage used to use the Manic Soul Caster. Where it's the 3/4, if you guys, I think it rotated out already, but it's the 3-mana 3/4 that shuffles a copy into your deck of any minion on the board. And that was run really frequently in Reno Mage. So you're going to see this most likely sneak into your Wild Reno Mage lists.
Cool.
Yeah, and with some of the cards that we're seeing revealed in the set, there's a potential that Quest Rogue could be making a comeback, and this might actually fit in that deck.
I don't know. This card, man. I'm lactose intolerant, so I really don't want to talk about the cheese. It just makes my stomach a little nauseous. That's probably why when I look at this card, I just get that feeling.
I mean, you're adding a copy of a card to your hand, which that's not a terrible effect in it of itself.
It is not a bad effect by any means, and it is a value card. The problem with this card is that there are so many cards that mimic the effect that it's not unique in any way. Obviously, you get the golden copy. That's cool flavor. Whatever you want to say about that.
Like cheesy flavor? Cheddar flavor? What kind of flavor of Pringle is that?
Jeez.
You're doing great, okay. Ray. You're doing great.
So, yeah, but this card, there's just so many effects like it that are either, like, it's just not unique to me. It's just very vanilla, except for obviously a golden copy. But to me, that doesn't matter. That's like, they could have not included that and it wouldn't matter to me. But obviously for people who are more casual, that's a cool effect or something like that. It adds flavor to the card. I understand that. But it's not that exciting to me. I can see uses in maybe Reno type of decks or like the Raza Priest. But honestly, Raza Priest is getting so many good cards. There is no way that this card is going to fit into that deck. Like, there's probably, I see this deck's, this card will see zero play.
I still think if Quest Rogue like comes back in a certain way, when the rotation hits, Mean Streets is going to rotate out, and along with it is going to be Ferryman. And this could potentially replace Ferryman in that deck. That's where I see
it. Yeah, I get what you're... You know what I love about you guys? You try to find ways to make cards work. You guys try. You're like, you know what? We're not going to be the competitive shills that immediately just, you know, dismiss bad cards. We are going to go ahead. We're going to find a way to make this work. But I'm with Ray. I just don't. I'm trying to think, like, there might be some uses for. I can't get it. But then again, I'm not a very good player. So I guess.
I mean, there are uses for the card, but the uses are just not potent enough. Like, think of reusing this with Kazakus or whatever on turn 6. Okay, that's kind of cool, but you could just Youthful Brewmaster for one less mana. You don't care about the 3/3 body, you care about the battle cry. Do people play Kazakus with Youthful Brewmaster? That's not a thing at all. That's,
I mean,
not even close
to
a thing. To
be fair, it doesn't take it from your deck and put it back into your hand.
What do you mean?
Because what Youthful Brewmaster does is it takes that card that's on the field and puts it back into your hand, right?
Yeah, but this card this does the same thing except for doesn't take it on off the field.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's different than Brewmaster, right? If you're going
but you don't care about. I'm saying you don't care about the body. Like the body.
If you're using Brewmaster for that, you're going for value, is what you're saying, right? You're not necessarily going for board presence.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one less mana. But I mean, so like, theoretically, Brewmaster
one more is mana, like, and you get to keep the body.
Right, that's not good, in the sense of like, in a competitive sense, you already don't care about the body; you just care about the effect. So having it be one less mana and still not be playable is a bad sign for this card actually being playable.
I actually have thought a little bit about this, the way that JR has presented it. And I mean, adding an additional bounce effect into Rogue helps out quests a little bit, though, a little bit more, though. I mean, obviously comparing it, it might not be as good as something like Brewmaster, but in that deck, you run into the position, and you see this a lot in Wild, where you hit like an equilibrium of like so many cards that have the same effect that it just that you can use it. You can use lower power cards because they synergize well with the deck. You essentially have an overload of that one effect in the deck, so it becomes more consistent.
Yeah, I could see it in Quest Rogue just as another bounce effect if they need it.
We'll have to see. I don't know. This is one of those, like, I just don't know. I feel like if it's good, it's like auto include in a lot of decks. And I just don't see that happening. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I think that a lot of the set, though, for auto includes, I think that a lot of this set is more tech based. A lot of the stuff is dependent on this in the meta. You may want to put this card in. Otherwise, you might not. A lot of this stuff is conditional. I feel that is this set compared to most other sets are there aren't any ridiculously standout cards that I've seen compared to other sets.
Definitely. And they're the way that they stand out is based on the synergies in the deck and not the fact that Prince Keliseth, all you have to do is not include two cards and yay. Yeah. Now everything is way better. Okay. We'll close the chapter on that one. We'll go into the next one here. King Togwaggle. Which was also
Togwaggle. I like to call it Woggle.
Okay, Togwaggle, which was Ray's nickname in high school, King Togwaggle.
It kind of looks like me.
Whatever. It's an 8 mana. It has more facial hair, more full beard. Oh. 8 mana, 5/5 neutral legendary minion reads battle cry. Swap decks with your opponent. Give them a ransom spell to swap back. JR, tell me what you think about this card, man.
This is the best card ever printed in existence of Hearthstone and will be in every competitive deck. I'm joking. No, this card, I love this card.
It's all mirror matches in competitive anyway, right? So does it really matter?
Yeah. No, I love this card from just the meme standpoint on trying to get this to work, because if it works, it's going to be hilarious to pull off, like making them draw cards and then playing this and they don't get the ransom card. Now they're stuck with your junky deck and you're stuck and you have their good deck. That would be pretty funny and hilarious.
Just run a bad card in Togwaggle.
Put Magma Rangers in your deck.
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
just play bad cards and then pull this off somehow, and they can't get their deck back. And you're like, ha, I have your good deck, and now you suck. How have the tables turned now?
And King's Ransom, just for those asking, is a 5 mana spell. So,
and it swaps your deck back.
Yeah, so that's how you swap it back. So it's not like a free spell. It's also not like lose an entire turn to swap it back. It's 5 mana.
My other favorite idea behind this is playing this, then playing, getting their deck, and then playing Explore on Goro and making all of the cards in there, the one mana discover, and then just see if they really want to swap decks back or not. And then if they do, have Skulking Geist in your hand and just get rid of everything.
Do you know what you should do with this deck to really piss off the free-to-play players is just run a deck of all legendaries. So when they get your deck, they get to play all your legendaries. And then so, they remember why Hearthstone is play to win.
No. So King Togwoggle, it's the name is one of my favorite names out of any Hearthstone cards. I love it. I love the art. But in all seriousness, this card could actually be playable because of that combo with Explore and Goro and Skulking Geist. It gives you a hard lock on your opponent. If you're playing Control Warrior, because Explore and Goro is a warrior card, so
you what can does play it do control- for the people who maybe don't have the Hearthstone dictionary in their head?
It changes all cards in your deck to Explore and Goros, which just say, are they called Explore and Goros? I think they are, or it might be just like be, that. It might just be Explore. You discover a card.
You discover a card. One mana, discover a card.
So basically you play King Togwoggle, you Explore and Goro, and now your opponent, most likely since you're playing Control Warrior, will just have shield blocks, shields, like really awkward cards for whatever their game plan most likely is, and you're not going to give them any threats. This is your old King Togwoggle is your only like big minion in the deck aside from Skulking Geist, so you have no way that when you give your opponent your deck that they can kill you because of the way that you build your deck. And then you have Explore and Goros or Explores or whatever they're called, so you can just find whatever you need, hopefully. But you can find threats is what I'm saying. Like, you build your deck just to be super anti-aggro and just have no threats at all. So once you give your opponent the deck, they can't do anything. If they take their deck back, you kill them because you Skulking Geist. Like, that's a hard lock in some sense. So
it would be hard to pull off, though, I think.
I don't think it's that unreasonable.
You have to survive.
So, no. There's the card that we may... Don't think we're talking about it today, but there's a card that got revealed that says it's a neutral card that says when it dies, recruit. I think it's like recruit an 8-cost minion. I don't know. Like that, there could be some janky ways to get King Togwoggle in your hand more consistently. I doubt that's ever going to be a thing. You're probably just going to draw it. But think of it like N'Zoth Warrior, except a little bit jankier, but more.
So basically, you just want to play Control Warrior with this and try to pull off your combo. Except a bad version of Control Warrior, so your opponent doesn't beat you.
I wouldn't call it a bad version. Think of N'Zoth Warrior. Like, they don't really play that many threats aside from the taunts in N'Zoth. Like, you don't have to consider... Like, I don't consider the 4-3 really a threat, like, with Death Rattle.
Yeah. Either way, I want to play
this. Mana shields, what's the spell that gives you armor for 2 mana? Bring it on. You can use that. Discount your opponent's minion, then switch decks, and you have discounted minions.
No. It only discounts the cards in their hand.
Yeah, but... Oh, yes. Sorry. It doesn't do it in the deck.
No, but like, you get the idea that I'm going for. Like, I think that actually has some potential, even if it's not tier 1. That, I don't know. I just think that would be funny to see.
But I want to see a raid. We should do a post show sometimes afterward where the Well-Met hosts just pilot a meme deck. And we do it at like whatever co-host is at the lowest rank and just meme really hard. We'll just do that after a show one time. Okay, closing thoughts on this one, because you guys decided, I'm like, cool, choose, 8 to 13 cards and we have like 18. Good. You good?
Good.
I'm just spoil a little. All right. Arcane Artificer.
Yo, what about the twig?
Twig of the World Tree. Sorry. Twig of the World Tree. Also my nickname in high school. I'm just kidding. All right.
Who gave you your nickname?
4 mana, 1/5 druid legendary weapon reads. Death Rattle, gain 10 mana crystals. Ray, you're up. What do you think here, bud?
This card is a really hit or miss card. I think it will be very powerful on curve and in combination with cards like Medivh, because it works like Nourish, where when you gain the mana crystals, you just get immediate access to them. So it has, what, it's a 4-mana card with 5 charges, I believe. And then once you use the charges, you get 10 mana.
Right.
And obviously, if you get that on curve, like going in or going into Ultimate Infestation turns, it has the power to provide you with insane tempo swing turns. And it's going to be a really strong card in more attrition-based matchups like the Druid Mirror. It's going to be awful against aggro, and it's going to be awful if you draw it late game. Like, if it's one of the last cards in your deck, it's terrible. It's a dead card. So it has, like, a time period where if you draw it in that time period between turn 4 and, like, turn 6 to 7, or even 8 maybe, it has the potential to just win you the game outright, but it's...
Like, I mean, when if you I first have UI saw it, in your hand, if you ever have UI in your hand and you have this, like, you can just use UI and then swing and then, like, get another 10 extra mana. You don't necessarily have to do it the other order. So I think that as long as you have UI, you
No, that's what I was talking about. Like, but imagine if you draw this card off of a UI. You're never using it. It's a nice card. So it's like, and you're not ever going to mulligan for it. It's not good in the early game.
So
you want wild growth. So it's like one of those cards where it might see play, but it's really hard to determine.
You kind of have to be able to afford... You have to be able to make a really good deck at 29 that isn't reliant on that. Like, you could probably do something like Big Druid, right? Run this in Big Druid, and if you get it, it's like a guaranteed win. And if you... don't get it, you're still running Big Druid?
Sort of. I wouldn't call it a guaranteed win if you get it off, but it definitely...
I mean, there's no such thing as a guaranteed win, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's like, if you draw it in the right set of circumstances, which is probably a good, if I were guessing, probably a good, like, 30 to 35% of the time, right? You, depending on what you can mulligan for, I guess. Like, if you've got that, then great. If you get it after, sure, it's basically a dead card. But at the same time, can you make a good competitive deck for 29 with 29 cards?
I think it's one of those cards that you're just gonna have to play with and see if it's worth the spot. And if you draw it enough of the time late game that it just feels kind of sour, it's like Kuhn to me, but like less versatile.
Like Kuhn, but, and more explosive. Late game, at least you get a 7/7 on the board.
Yeah.
And you can gain 10 mana. Or not 10 armor. 10 armor is what I meant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kuhn is way better if you get him late game than this. But this card can give you some crazy swings in the game. It, like Ray said, if you get it just the right time. And so you have that small gap in the game where this card is potentially going to win you the game, or you're just going to get a dead draw. Mm-hmm. It's very extreme.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
First thing that I saw with this card is that you don't necessarily have to swing 5 times with it, though. If you get something like in Standard, you play Medivh, or in Wild, you have Blingtron, which you can actually play, which is an interesting one. You play Twig of the World Tree directly into turn 5 Blingtron, and you have 10 automatically. So back-to-back
turns. And that 10 mana stays for good. It's like Nourish.
Exactly. You get it.
I'm looking up something. Is there a card that triggers all your death rattles that doesn't say minion? It's all minion. Okay, never mind. I'm like, I wonder if there's something there where it's like, trigger all your death rattles, where that would be pretty cool. But obviously, I think it would also be broken. So, all right, card number 3. Okay, fine. JR, go. Sorry.
One thing I wanted to say is, remember in your interview when you guys were asking about, like, Harrison Jones and acidic Swampoos and things like that. This card's a good example of cards that they're implementing, or legendary weapons that they're implementing, that you don't necessarily want to destroy. Your opponent doesn't necessarily want to destroy.
You
want to
give them more durability. Give your opponent's weapon 5 durability. There you go. That's true. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Arcane Artificer. It's a 1 mana, 1/2 common mage elemental minion. Reads, whenever you cast a spell, gain armor equal to its attack. It's my turn. I like this card a lot, and we had a pretty good discussion on it in our Discord, discord.me/wellmetpodcast, by the way, if you guys want to come hang out. It's a good time. And yeah, it I really like it. I think that it's really good as like an anti-aggro card. Because I think it basically has taunt, because from that point on, if you let that thing go, I mean, you've got Frostbolt, you've got Arcane Intellect, you've got so many ways to stall out as mage, even that I'm just like, ooh, this, I think that this is going to make people feel like they need to attack that card. I like this card. The question is the meta appropriate for it? And I don't think that there's any decks that I can see now or in the future that are going to utilize this right away. So I'm not really sure. It is an elemental though. So elemental mage maybe will become a thing, but I like it. I like the card. Okay, fine. Let me like a card. Okay, Danny, just let me like the card.
I like the card myself. Okay. I think that it's interesting that Blizzard, a little bit more of the conspiracy theorist here, but when Blizzard's releasing this card, and with the rumors going around that they may be pushing Ice Block to the Hall of Fame next expansion when the rotation hits, I could see this card getting some serious support. And because, like you said, if you get a board clear like Flame Strike, if you play 8 mana, this and Flame Strike gain 7 armor, that clears the board, gives you some armor. I mean, right now, obviously Control Mage has a better card that you can play in Ice Block, but I can see this semi fitting into that spot if Blizzard ends up rotating that out. And obviously they provide a little bit more support. I think what you really need for this card to shine is some really flexible high cost spell. Like, you know how we have Branching Paths in Druid that can do a bunch of things. If they had something similar in Mage, this card could be incredibly broken.
I was really meh about this card when it was first announced. And I talked to you guys and we had a discussion.
Argument.
And I'm a little more.
We've called each other names, made fun of their family members.
Yeah, I made John cry.
We basically called each other names until JR changed his mind, because that's how good debate works. Is the more offensive you can get with your arguments, the more likely it is that that person is going to change their idea. And that's exactly what we did for JR.
Yeah, no, that's completely true.
I don't think that's how that works at all.
It's not at all. That is sarcasm, okay?
Yeah, sorry. But but I got to think, like, I disagree a little bit with Danny, though, that I don't think you need a high-cost card. And that's the way I was thinking originally, is like, what high-cost cards are you going to play with this? Because you can play this with Frostbolt and Fireball and, you know, gain 6 armor right there. And it'd still be a decent gain. But I see this I don't see this slotting in an existing deck. I do see it slotting if Elemental Mage ever becomes a thing. I also see, like, the more I think about it, the more I think Kazakus Mage is going to end up being a pretty good deck, and I think this fits right into that.
Sure. Makes sense. Yeah. I wonder if it'd ever work in like a Freeze Mage. Just because you run so many different spells, like, you know,
I was thinking that too.
At the same time, even if you're a little bit more of like a tempo mage thing, like, what else do you run? You run the 1 mana, 1/3 that I can never remember. The
mana worm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
To say the.
Do you really want to gain armor in that tempo?
No.
Mage? I don't think you want to gain armor.
I mean, I don't think it hurts to have a 1-mana 1/2 elemental.
I mean, that's a card that's no longer a card in your hand that could be anything else. I think that it only works if.
What else do you play on turn one, a mage? Besides mana,
I would rather play nothing.
Right now,
you play Babbling Book and you play the Mana Worm. I was actually looking at a tempo mage list earlier this week, and like, there's surprisingly few one drops for mage. Like, those are the only two you can play, even in wild.
The main reason why that wouldn't be a good thing is because in tempo mage, generally tempo mages are secret mages, and secret mages need combinations of cards to be really, really strong. Like turn three, you want to have Kirin Tor Mage, and you want to be developing a secret. You need like these combinations of cards, so you don't want to really just have a card that doesn't have a specific purpose in your deck. And this being an elemental means that there could be an elemental control deck that does end up utilizing this card, because it is one mana, so you can combo it with cards like Blizzard. I mean, you can just play it as an elemental activator, and then if they don't kill it, you get a lot of value from the armor gain. I could see that happening, but like Danny said, if Ice Block does end up getting rotated, then this will be one of the main sources of armor gain. But with Ice Block in the metagame, it feels like this card's a little bit too weak right now.
Ice Barrier? Ice Block.
Block?
No, Ice Block.
Ice Block doesn't give you armor, though.
No, right. But it gives you longevity.
It lets you live longer.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'm like, you don't gain an armor. Okay.
Like, control decks would go away from playing Arcanologist plus Ice Block to effectively live longer, and they would move towards like Elementals plus Arcane Artificer and Jaina to gain health.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Guess we'll see. Where this guy ends up. Let's talk about this next card. Explosive Runes. 3-mana rare mage secret reads, secret. When your opponent plays a minion, deals 6 damage to it. Deal all remaining damage to your opponent. So this is something pretty new, right, Ray?
Yeah, so this is actually exactly what I was talking about when I was talking about how you want to go into Kirin Tor Mage plus a secret. This is actually the secret I want to be developing right now. Because this card, generally, if you play it on turn 3, your opponent's not going to have a big minion to play into it. And they're going to try to check Mirror Entity, because they're probably playing that along with it. With a smaller minion, so maybe like a Firefly, maybe a, I don't know, just something small, and then that's gonna die, and then your opponent's gonna take 4 to the face. I feel like when a secret can deal damage to your opponent's face, and as much as like 4 to 5 damage, maybe even just clearing a threat, like a 5-mana minion or something, like that seems really strong to me. I think this card is gonna be a staple in Secret Mage. Immediately.
And part of that too is the overlap with Mirror Entity too, right? That's exactly what you said, but the overlap is not exact. Whereas like when last expansion I was really excited about Frozen Clone, but it overlaps a little bit too much with Mirror Entity. But this card has enough like of dissonance between the cards that like when you're testing for one of them, the other one is bad. Whereas you can test for a Frozen Clone the same exact way that you can test for Mirror Entity. So that difference between the two of them and the way you test it just makes a Tempo Mage more dynamic.
Yeah, and effectively your opponent, until they have information on your deck, like whether or not you've played a Mirror Entity already kind of thing, they're effectively flipping a coin on which secret you played. Like if you go turn 3 Kirin Tor Mage, play a secret, and you play 2 Mirror Entities and 2 Explosive Runes, they're flipping a coin as to whether or not they want to play around X or Y. And to me, that seems really strong, and I don't think we've really had anything like that before for Secret Mage.
Yeah, that's true.
I also think that the secret's harder to play around, too. Like, just dropping a small mini on this, you take the face damage, which, I mean, Tempo Mage is trying to burn you down at the end of the game, so I don't know. Are you trying to just put a really big health minion up with this? How do you play around this secret?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You play around it differently every single time. And most of the time, it's going to end up playing out favorably for the mage, which is why I think this is such a good secret for Secret Mage. It has everything that the deck really wants to be doing.
Yeah.
I think one of the takeaways from this card, too, I agree with what these guys are saying, by the way, but it's going to have the most confusing interaction in the game when dealing with Divine Shield minions. Because of the way that they said that how that works, and I don't agree with how it works. Let's say you have a 1-1, that's a bad example. Let's say you have a 3-3 Divine Shield minion on the board. When this is, you play that and you pop off the secret. I would imagine it would do one damage to take off the Divine Shield and then do 5 damage to the face. Or it would do all damage to the Divine Shield and no damage to the face. I feel like one or the other is acceptable, but that's not how Blizzard goes with this interaction. Instead, because the minion is a 3-3, it has to absorb 3 with the Divine Shield, and then it would do 3 to the face. So whatever the health is on the Divine Shield minion is what the minion would absorb.
So the minion still stays alive, though.
Yes.
The minion stays alive because it eats up the Divine Shield minion. It just doesn't make sense to me because you can take off the Divine Shield with a 1-1.
Really? And, you know, I think it would do, like, you deal 1 damage to the Divine Shield and then the rest of the minion and then the rest of the face. Like, the Divine Shield takes 1.
Yeah. I feel like that's how it should be, too. I feel like it should either be that or the Divine Shield absorbs all of it.
I like... Right.
But Blizzard is saying it's going to do... The health of the minion is absorbed by the Divine Shield and then the rest of the face.
The way I like to think of it, because I was trying to think, is like, imagine you got a shield that can absorb your three health minion with Divine Shield. And that essentially what Hearthstone says, that means that your shield absorbs like up to like 3 damage in this case. And you're like parrying it off. Right. It's not consistent at all. That's just what I like to say.
I don't know. I feel like they just like made this card and like programmed it and then just like ran the interaction and whatever happened, they're just like,
like, yeah,
all right, that seems good.
All right, let's do that.
Oh my gosh, there's going to be a really interesting interaction when you play Tyrion on this, right? It just pops the Divine Shield on Tyrion. But if you're playing up against a deck where you don't know if it's Mirror Entity or if it's the Explosive Ruins card, and you pop down a Tyrion, you have a 50-50 of giving them a Tyrion. Like, I expect to see that pretty frequently. People trying to play around this by playing Tyrion and then getting it Mirror Entity.
More like people playing Paladin in 2017. Well, just kidding.
Either way, man, I think that's a favorable situation to be in for the mage because they've never been able to put people in that situation. It's so different and I love it.
Yeah. We are not doing well on our time management here. Let's talk about the Lesser Pearl Spellstone. So the Lesser Pearl Spellstone is the Stealthspone. Is the Paladin Spellstone, and it's 2 mana, rare, reads, summon a 2/2 spirit with taunt, restore 3 health to upgrade, and then the next one is a 2 mana 4/4 spirit, and the last one is a 2 mana 6/6 with taunt spirit. So, that's...
Are the spirits elementals? Does anyone know?
I can find out for you right now, just to make sure. Thanks to...
I don't know if we had...
I don't think we saw the tokens.
I don't know if we had the tokens for that or not.
I will find it.
I think that either way, a 2/2 with taunt and that restores 3 health to upgrade does still seem pretty solid.
It is. Because No tribe.
Okay.
Because like the new 3-drop restores health at the end of the turn. The main issue I see with this whole restoring health theme was the problem that I found when I was testing out Blackguard last format was actually taking the damage to your face. That became a problem. If I'm not playing against an aggro deck, how am I actually taking face damage a lot of the time? like early on in the game. The
board, yeah.
It's so that's like one of the predicaments that kept coming up was if you're not playing against aggro, how are you actually taking the damage? I was even thinking of playing things like Light's Justice just to start hitting minions and getting face damage. Like, I don't know. I wish there was ways. I wish like Paladin got a Warlock card, like one of those Warlock cards that just dealt a bunch of damage to your face.
Aggro Paladin, you want it back?
No. I just want a Paladin card that when I play it, deals a bunch of damage to my face so I can heal it and get all these cool effects.
Got it. I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, you don't get one, so sorry.
Not yet.
Sorry. What do you guys think really quickly on this one? This one isn't very exciting for me.
Yeah, I'm a bit indifferent on the card myself.
It
might be really playable. I just think it's really boring.
I like having a 6/6 on like turn 3 or 4 would be pretty cool or earlier. Like if you can pop it off with that, but getting a 6/6 with taunt by turn 6 or after, just a vanilla 6/6 taunt is not very exciting.
For 2 mana, it is though, right?
It is, because like you're also getting the value of this is all from one card. You're playing this on turn 2, getting a 2/2.
But you're taunt. Having to do a bunch of stuff to,
right.
to get the there.
The idea is that that kind
you're
of
you're not
synergy,
getting it from one card. You're doing stuff.
But like most cards. Of the time, but it's a synergy thing. Like you're playing Blackguard in this deck. You're playing the card that's a 3 mana or sword help. Like the idea is that like this whole thing, this whole archetype somehow comes together and is a thing, and it just all synergizes with itself, and this card fits in it.
I don't think it's going to be this set that happens either. If it happens, it'll be later.
I don't see it right now. With the cards that we have right now, it's not going to be a thing, but I'm saying, like, if it is a thing, it's going to be an, like, that's going to be the theme of the deck, is going to be to restore health, and when you restore health, cool things happen.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Lesser Pearl Spellstone. That's a card. Let's talk about Temperous. Right? That's the next one? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
7 mana, 6/6 Priest Legendary Dragon reads, battle cry, your opponent takes 2 turns, then you take 2 turns. Whoa. So.
It's a dragon.
It makes Nether Spite Historian worse.
Unless you're playing a deck around the card, then it makes it better.
What deck are you playing around this card, man?
A super meme deck. It's not just a meme deck, it's a super meme deck.
A meme deck.
I mean, these memes are so out of my mind. Like I just can't think. Like, these memes are too intense for me. I just can't meme that hard. Like, thinking about how to make this card playable is going to be unhealthy for my mental health. So I won't do it. I'm going to sit this card out.
I wonder if there's any OTK implications here with Priest that you can't do with 10 mana that you can do with 20 mana.
You can do a lot of things with 20 mana that you can't do with 10. But the issue is...
About double,
the issue is staying... yeah.
Great.
Of course.
Well,
but the issue is
here.
surviving the opponent's 2 turns, right? So when you're playing this card, if you're trying to make it work, you need to go and set the board state up where you can... not die from 2 turns out, which is pretty difficult to do because your opponent will just develop a lot and then use their burn spells, and you will most likely die in 2 turns if you give them the mage quest for free.
Yeah. You have to have 2 turn lethal, and you have to hope that they don't, or some ways to stop that with twice the amount of mana.
Yeah, it's one of those things where 2 turns is a very powerful effect. The problem is you're giving it to you're allowing your opponent to do it first. And that's where it's just like, this probably isn't going to work. Because if you play this, you're telling your opponent, I have lethal in 2 turns. Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
And they will.
I got it. You play King Togwoggle. You swap decks with your opponent. He plays this card. Then you kill him for two.
With his deck.
You kill him in two turns with his deck. Because he has to play this card. There we go.
No, that's all I can discuss about this card. Is it's a fantastic meme. It's a fantastic meme. It's really cool that the Hearthstone platform can do something like this. I will not play it. Will not play it. Let's talk about we're doing Faldurai Strider, right? That's a rogue card. 4 mana, 4/4 epic rogue card reads, Battlecry, shuffle 3 ambushes into your deck. When drawn, summon a 4/4 spider. A little bit more information. Ambush does not cost any mana and casts automatically when it's drawn. So they don't trigger things like Auctioneer and Pyromancer. Okay. JR, this was your card, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's going to fit right into Miracle Rogue. Like, this card is awesome. Like, 4 mana, basically you get 4 mana 16/16, no longer 4 mana 7/7, you get 4 mana 16/16. Because if you can pop this with Miracle Rogue, and as you're just doing your thing as Miracle Rogue, you're getting more dudes on the board eventually. Like, because you're going through your deck quick. And that seems really good.
In some ways, it's almost like better that they're random too, because if you just got them all at once, then the like a board clear would be really potent against it. But since you get them randomly, sometimes staggering out the 4/4s that you're going to get when you're drawing through your deck makes it a lot more difficult for your opponent to deal with. And you have the ability to play cards like Shadow Step as well. So you could even get multiple like triggers of the battle cry, which could be really cool. Like if you have like 12 ambushes in your deck, I don't know. Like I feel like your odds of drawing an ambush are probably like 50% at some points in the game. Like every single turn, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's a good card.
I think it's the value and power of the card is hidden. Like this is a low, this is not one of the cards that are obviously going to be good like some other cards.
Yeah. So I do want to clarify one thing here, just so that we're clear, because I think chat room got a little bit confused by it. When you draw it, it doesn't cost any mana, but like if your opponent were to, what is it, Thought Steal, is that the one that comes from your deck?
Yeah.
And Thought Steal it, it's a 4 mana spell.
Is it right? 4 mana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
something new.
Got it. So that's how it works. What we were saying is it just means that when you draw it, you don't play any mana to play it. Is how it works. So anyways, yeah. This is a good card. That's about it. I like 4 mana 4/4s. Dark Iron Dwarf. Those old, mm-hmm. the good old days of the Dark Iron Dwarf, the 3/3 Shattered Sun Cleric. Come on. Good days.
Yeah, no.
Good days.
No, those were great days in the Argent Commander. Yeah. 4/3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
All right. Going down memory lane here. Let's talk about Grumble the World Shaker. It's a 6 mana 7/7 legendary shaman elemental. Reads, Battlecry, return your other minions to your hand. They cost 1. Danny, what do you think here? You look kind of excited.
Oh, I'm really excited for this card. This is like what Shaman needs for like a mid-range deck to be good. This, I mean, when you play this card, just getting a Battlecry, a lot of the minions that Shaman plays that are high cost are Battlecry minions. So being able to get battle cries off like Blaze Caller in like an elemental style deck, like being able to get that battle cry for 1 mana and having this be an elemental is great, because you get to use the Blaze Caller and then you play this card the next turn and then you get the Blaze Caller again for 1 mana. Like the amount of value you can get from this card is spectacular.
Yeah. And to add on to Danny's point, I don't even think that you need to wait till you get cards like Blaze Color. Like, if you have a board of decently good Battlecry minions, like the 2/4 that heals you, that elemental, what is it called? Hot Spring Guardian, and the Turtle Stonehill Defender, like all these cards. If you just play this on curve, this is a 6-mana 7/7. So those are good stats. And before you even play it, you can also trade in your minions. So it's like you trade in your minions to get them to low health, and then you bounce them back to your hand, effectively healing them, and then you get the insane battle cries again. This card, if there is going to be a mid-range shaman deck, this card's going to be very good in it.
Cool. I like it. I do like it. Let's do you disagree, JR?
No, they made good points. My only concern with this is depending on the deck that you're playing, of course. If you play it with Insane Battlecries, yeah, it's going to work pretty well. But I just feel like you'd lose tempo, like a lot of tempo with this, depending on what you're doing. So, because bouncing all your minions back, yeah, you get to play them again next turn, but
more of that.
I don't know.
Could play 4 minions on turn 10.
Yeah, if you play turn 10, I think it's a lot better in that regard.
The thing is, though, is if you're playing a deck like Elementals and you are ahead on tempo to the point where you don't want to play this card, you're probably winning the game anyways.
Right.
Interesting. We'll have to see on this one. This one's a question mark for me. Like, it's obviously a really powerful battle cry. Question is if it's a good battle cry.
That's pretty much how I feel. That's pretty much how I feel.
Let's talk about one of the more kind of exciting. I don't know if it's why this card is exciting to me, but it's the Void Lord. It's a 9-mana 3/9 epic warlock demon. Reads taunt. Death rattle. Summon 3/1/3 demons with taunt. And yes, that is the exact same card as a Voidwalker. So the 1/3 demon with taunt. That was confirmed by Mike Donay. All right. What do you think about this one, JR?
So when I first saw this card, I'm like, wow, this is a really expensive warlock card for a 3/9 with taunt. And I'm like, that's. And then I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, man, Sludge Belcher was really playable back in the day. And this is like Sludge Belcher on steroids. And then I'm like, this is actually not bad.
Like, Sludge Belcher on steroids?
Sludge Belcher on steroids.
Said? Oh
my, that's what that's. It's more expensive, but instead of just 1/1/2 minion, you get 3/1/3 taunt guys. And yeah, you're playing it for 4 mana more, but it's a 3/9 instead of a 3/5. Sludge Belcher was completely playable back in the day and still is in Wild. I could see this being the same.
Okay. Ray, what do you think, man?
This card is either going to be very good or it's just not going to see play at all. I'm leaning towards the fact that it's going to be very good for this card alone, plus Abyssal Enforcer, is all you need to make Gul'dan playable in a control warlock deck. Because this card, when you play Gul'dan, it's going to summon the 3/9 and as a taunt, but it's also going to summon the 1/3s. So this is like a mini army for Gul'dan on its own, which is really cool. And then on top of that, you have Abyssal Enforcers. And then all the other demons you play, I feel like, are subpar. And you just play them because you want Gul'dan to be more potent in the late game. Like Despicable Dreadlord and stuff like that. It's like a pretty decent card, but I feel like you can cut that stuff if you play Void Lord and have Gul'dan be just as good.
The issue with that is that the 1/3s do dilute Gul'dan's pool. That is one of the things that I find really interesting about this card, that I think that you really don't want to play this with many other demons because you're not going to be able to get this body back again off of Gul'dan. It's a 1 in 4 as opposed to the other three 1/3s that are being spawned. So I think that you're probably going to want to make your deck only run a specific amount of demons. I mean, this is definitely the card is an anti-aggro master, similar to Priest's Obsidian Statue. This is going to be like a hard stop to aggro. But I think that you're going to definitely have to build your deck differently than the current control warlocks have for like the demons that you play in there. Because if you end up getting a board back with just the 1/3 demons against like a control match, it might not. I mean, it's the 1/3s can typically be dealt with relatively easily. So I think this is a little bit more of a deck builder's to utilize this card to its full potential. You're going to have to build your deck a little bit differently than normal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I was saying was that you literally would only be playing Void Lord and Abyssal Enforcer as demons. Like, you're not playing Despicable. Like, you're going to cut those now because they, like, in my opinion, that card is only really played because you play Gul'dan. Like, if Gul'dan wasn't a thing, you wouldn't be playing those cards. So I think that with this card existing, you can just play the two good demons and that's it. Because this card creates an army in itself.
Okay. Closing thoughts on this one. We still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more cards. Cool. All right. Rummaging Kobold. Rummaging, where are you, buddy? There you are. Rummaging Kobold is a 3-mana, 1/3 neutral epic minion, reads: battle cry, return one of your destroyed weapons to your hands. To your hand. So, Danny, what do you think about this one, man?
I think this is pretty cool, especially when you have an expansion that's focused all around the legendary weapons. If someone plays an ooze and you really wanted to get your weapon out, you can just run this in your deck and get the weapon back. Mm. It might not be good, but if you really just want to play the weapon, you can guarantee that you get the weapon off.
Interesting. JR, what do you think?
Yeah, it feels like a tech card to me on if you're playing a deck that's playing with one of the legendary weapons, and yeah, it feels like this is one of those cards that exists in order to tech in if the meta is moving towards weapon removal, and then you get to play this as a counter to that. But I think otherwise you wouldn't probably bother.
Yeah, I actually think JR nailed it, and I'm going to agree with what he said 100%.
Cool. All right, that was nice and easy. Thank you guys for once. Let's talk about the Grand Archivist. Grand Archivist is an 8-mana, 4/7 neutral epic. Getting a little spendy here, guys. Reads, at the end of your turn, cast a spell from your deck. Targets chosen randomly. Ray, what do you think here?
I think that this card is probably going to end up being bad just for the fact that most of the time, you're not going to be able to build a deck that is based around just value spells, like high mana spells. Maybe you could play a druid deck that just plays Ultimate Infestation, Nourish, just really high value spells. And then you also play like the new 6-drop that like reveal a spell, play a minion that equal to the cost or whatever. But outside of like very specific decks, I don't think this card can see much play because it's too random. You're going to end up playing cards that you don't want to play that cost like a Frostbolt or something, and it's going to be chosen at random. Like it's so dependent on your deck.
So last week we talked about the Shaman legendary weapon that basically, after your hero attacks, discover a spell and cast it again with random targets. And I was saying, like, I really didn't like that card for the simple fact that I don't like the random effects. And I have the same problem with this card. So I'm wondering, but Ray, you really liked that weapon last week.
Yeah.
So do you play this card in that deck?
No, because that has, you discover a spell, so it's not random. And it, like, that card doesn't limit your deck design. The weapon doesn't limit your deck design to the just playing like AoE spells that random effects don't matter. This card, it directly inhibits like what you can actually play in your deck.
To be fair though, there are some decks that currently exist that don't really run that many spells. You look at all the Kel'Seth decks, and besides a couple key cards, they really don't run many spells. But the biggest thing for me is Hunter with this card. I think that if you're going with a mid-range Hunter card and you play this and your only spell, the only spells you play is the Animal Companion and Call of the Wild, that this card is very, very good. Because you don't really need to play any other spells in Hunter. Hunter is completely minion-based. And, I mean, getting a Call of the Wild off of this, getting a 4-7 plus Call of the Wild
it's
is
like
really
taking
broken.
A second turn, yeah.
It's like getting Call of the Wild when it was meant to be, before they nerfed it.
Yeah, when it was actually 8 mana.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, you don't, because it's at the end of your turn, so you don't even get an attack with Hunter.
Yeah, it's just, the problem is that Hunter, like, Call of the Wild barely made Hunter good, because it was just too slow, especially when it went to 9 mana. Like, I just worry that is already too slow of a card, but... There's new tools coming out for Hunter every day. So I really like, I haven't heard that line of thinking before. And you're right. I think it works really well, but I also don't fathom a world in where you play Hunter and you don't run like Kill Command. And,
that's fair.
You know, like Deadly Shot in Wild. And you guys still
Which
run
still
Deadly Shot
be bad.
In Wild. Not Deadly Shot, the three, the two-minute Quick Shot, the two quick minutes, shot, quick yeah. shot thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
I probably don't need to run Quick Shot, but, like, it'd be really hard to not run Kill Command, I guess. That would be the one that I can really think of that'd be kind of weird. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and see. We'll see. Let's go to the next one here. Psychic Scream. My Shadow Priest main in me is really happy that this exists. Jeez, Ray, you want to speak?
Yeah.
All right.
How did you know?
I don't know. Thanks for giving me some editing.
Because he was raising his hand very quietly.
This card's really good. It's going to be played in Raza Priest. Doesn't trigger death rattles, and generally you don't care that your opponent gets more longevity in terms of you fatiguing them. Like, you don't really care that they get their resources back. Like, you're just going to kill them with Anduin. This card's just going to be good.
Like, and then they can draw into dead cards as well, right? If you're playing against a paladin, all their recruits just got put in their deck, and they go and they just draw a bunch of dead cards.
Heck, your minions are going to go on their deck too, so... They could even draw your Kazakus or something. Like, this card is just going to be really good, and it's going to be a staple in Raza Priest.
So here's my thoughts on this card. If you open up my account and you look at all of my classes played, and you know how you have the levels of things, I have everything maxed out at 60 except for one class, and it's Priest. Because I just hate playing Priest. I don't like playing Priest. So my experience with this card is going to be a lot of bad words coming out of my mouth whenever this gets played. Which seems to happen a lot lately when I play against Priest. So thanks, Blizzard, for making me cuss more.
Shame on you.
The sign of a good card. It makes JR swear. That's how we should tell how good a card is. How pissed off JR gets when you play it against him.
I want to do an honest card review type thing where it's just my reaction to the card getting played against me. And if I'm like happy that it's played, it's bad. And if I just start screaming at the top of my lungs, it's a really good card.
Yeah. Oh man,
that's my card review for this card.
Fair enough.
I was so unhappy when I saw this.
Oh man, I bet. I so definitely salty. Bet. Let's talk about Sonya. Sonya Shadowdancer. She is a 3-mana. Where is my thing? There it is. 3-mana, 2/2 rogue legendary reads, after a friendly minion dies, add a 1/1 copy of it to your hand. It costs 1. Okay. Take me through this one. One of you, either one. I'm not even going to say.
Sure. I'll take it. Cool. I really like this card because it adds a little bit of a niche use to Quest Rogue. You make Quest Rogue a control-y style deck, and then until you've assembled Sonya and one of the Charger minions, a Charger minion. So you play Sonya, then you play your Patches or you play your Stone Tusk Boar. You charge your Boar into a bunch of other things, and you get your quest off in one turn.
Yep.
Yep.
This is why I said Quest Rogue was coming back. It was because of this card, and that's why I said the cheese card earlier could potentially fit into that deck, because I think Quest Rogue's gonna come back, guys. Gonna come back.
Mean, that's all good and fine, but what about this card not in Quest Rogue? This card's just good in general.
Yeah,
you just got a board full of Vile Spine Slayers or Bone Mares or something. Just think about that. You have a Bone Mare on the board on turn 7. Like, you Bone Mare something. They obviously rarely kill the Bone Mare. They usually end up killing what's taunted. Now, on turn 8, you play Sonya. You trade in your Bone Mare. You got a 1-1 Bone Mare. You play the 1-1 Bone Mare. You buff up some other thing. You backstab your Bone Mare. Get another 1-1 Bone Mare. Play it again. Like, just buff up your thing again. Like, this card is just going to be good.
Just
overall.
Kill those Bone Mares and get more Bone Mares.
Or, like, Vile Spine Slayer, everything. Like, literally everything. Like, Vile Spine Slayer, like, anything. This card's just good. This card is just very good.
This card makes me happy that they nerfed Concealed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
We have Conceal and Wild, so, like, this is going to cause... Rogue is going to be so much more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good card, I think, overall. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We got 2 more. We can do this. Cataclysm. Ooh, Cataclysm. Where's my cards? There they are. Cataclysm is an 4-mana warlock epic spell. Reads, destroy all minions. Discard your hand.
Quest Warlock. They're really trying to push it, man.
Yeah, this is a card that they're like, hey, guys, nobody plays Quest Warlock because that has just been awful. And the whole discard mechanic just hasn't been working. We really want people to play Quest Warlock. Let's make a card that makes Quest Warlock viable. Okay, here's the card right here. Guess what? Now you can just play this and you don't have to play anything else discard wise. And guess what? You've now done your quest by turn 4. Congrats.
Seems good. That's that. Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Is that it?
That's it.
I mean, that's I had the suspicion that they were going to make the weapon discard related, but this just totally took that away from my prediction. I had originally thought that the weapon was going to be something like Silverware Golem, summon anything that's discarded, but like this just sets it up. This is so much better than that.
Yeah, just pulled the trigger.
Cool.
They're just like, all right, we're done messing around, boys. We want this to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can just play this in basically a zoo Quest Warlock deck, and then just sit there and get little minions back, you know, with your hero power.
I mean, you can do a lot of things with this, but either way, it's a sign that they want Quest Warlock to be played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're done messing around.
They're done right. messing around. All right, last one. Kobold Librarian, 1-mana, 2/1, common warlock. Minion reads, Battlecry, draw a card, free Warlock hero power. Battlecry, free Warlock hero power.
Right? So, Novice Engineer Yes, basically. But Novice Engineer was a 1/2 that got nerfed to a 1/1 at 2-mana. In my opinion, dealing damage to your hero is either irrelevant or, in some cases, is going to help you with like the new Spellstone. Mm-hmm. This card's insane. I think this is the best card that they've probably ever printed for Warlock.
It's very simple, right? Like it's not difficult to immediately just see that it's a good card. It's a Naxxramas card. You don't have to do a lot of theory crafting. You don't have to do a lot. It's just a good value card.
What I like about it is turn one, you don't have to use your hero. You know, you don't like turn one is the only time you can't use your hero power and take two damage and draw a card. Now that is no longer the case. Now you can do it and also get a 2/1 on the board.
Yeah. Or you can do it twice in a turn.
Play two draws. Play two of them in turn two.
Turn three.
And have two 2/1s on the board. And
I mean, that's basically what this says is play one mana and hero power and get a 2/1 on the board. So what this card is, that's very powerful.
It is.
I do like how it's a 2/1 stat line, though, because a lot of the one cost minions are 1/3s. So it dies to a trade to most other one drops. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things that Blizzard always has issues with is printing one drops in Warlock because of the hero power. And this one drop, at least you can't really snowboard the board.
Snowball the board. I was just like, should I? No, I'll leave it.
No, it's snowball.
Sorry, I couldn't let it go.
It's a good one. It's a good card.
I appreciate you calling it out. It was bothering me too, JR.
All right. Any remaining thoughts on the cards we reviewed? We did a lot this week.
I am very excited about this set because it seems like every day they're revealing another card that is like exciting and almost meta defining. And I feel like this is the first, like this is a first like major set that I feel like we're really have been getting that. Mm-hmm. Like there's been over half the set has been revealed, or not over half, almost half the set has been revealed. And I've been excited for a lot of cards.
Yeah, like this is the one of the first sets where like the majority of the cards we're getting are playable. They did that with the adventures, which was really nice. That's why adventures were always really nice, because they always changed the metagame most of the time when they were released, because every card seemed like it was playable. But with the expansions, like what last expansion gave us, what, like 20 playable cards or something? I don't know. It feels like maybe even less. Like Gunther Mage is still a thing, and that plays literally zero Lich King cards or Knights of the Frozen Throne cards. Like this set is just feels like it's going to be so much more impactful than previous sets.
Yeah. There's a lot of really powerful cards, but require certain deck archetypes to exist. So hopefully we end up seeing more deck archetypes there, which means that we see more just decks in total on the ladder. And then hopefully people don't feel like it's playing the same, you know, three or four top tier decks all the time. So
yeah, it feels like they're definitely forcing their hand.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Definitely do. I agree. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us for episode 134 of Well Met. We really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it. We've got a few things here. First, we do want to thank our Well Met legends, The Real Ben and Carell. Thank you so much. If you like the show, want to support, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. If you are thinking about supporting the show and you're not necessarily wanting to do it month to month, go to JR's Extra Life thing, and you can still get some coaching and get some really cool stuff there as well. But you could always be a patron of the show too, whatever you want to do. But yeah, thank you so much to all of our patrons and our Well Met legends, The Real Ben and Carell. We also love your iTunes reviews. If you like the show, one of the best ways to support, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, and we'll mispronounce your name on the show. No new ones this week, but thank you for continuing to review us and make us one of the most reviewed Hearthstone podcasts on iTunes. We really appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Danny, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
Sure. No shout outs this week, but you can find me at DannyDonuts_HS on Twitter and DannyDonuts45 on Twitch.
Cool. Ray, you, what's up?
You can find me on Twitter at PG_RayC and on Twitch at twitch.tv/RayC591. I have been streaming a lot more, so be sure to check it out. Once the new set drops, I'm going to go hard.
Cool. And JR, what about you, man?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Sam Benson, our innkeeper of Fireside Gatherings. We had a Fireside Gathering last night here in Kansas City again. And he came up with a real life dungeon run where he printed off a bunch of these cards that we've been talking about that are in the next set and put them on the monsters that we're going to see in the dungeon run. And we actually got to play it out with real life cards. And it was a lot of fun last night. We played it at a place called Pawn and Pint, which is a board game pub. And they had served drinks and stuff, and they had all these board games you could play and go. It was a really cool venue and had a lot of fun. But anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to him because he always puts on great events. And where you can find me, twitch.tv/EldorianBP. If you want to go and donate to Extra Life, you can find the information on there. And also on Twitter at Eldorian. I have a quick question for Danny. So Danny donates 45. What happened to 1 and through 44?
I ate them all. Okay.
Unbelievable.
What happened to the other 590 Racies?
I already know that. Same answer. I already knew that.
All right. Well, as for me, I actually have a pretty cool announcement. I'm launching a new show this week, and I'm really nervous about it. It's a big undertaking. It's called Overwatch League Daily. It is a 5-day-a-week Overwatch League show, and it's going to have a ton of production value behind it. I've got some of the biggest names in the competitive Overwatch community who have agreed to regularly show up and contribute. And that is going to debut Wednesday morning. And yeah, so I'm really excited. I'm really nervous. But if you're into Overwatch or Blizzard esports at all, I would love for you to check it out. You can find it on Twitter at OWL Daily Show. Or just search on any of your podcast feeds for Overwatch League Daily, and you'll find it right there. All right, that's going to do it for us for episode 134. You can find us recording live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.bluespro.com. Tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Big thanks to Jake Butno for our music and Scythe Designs for our graphics. That's going to do it for us this week. We will see you in 7 days. And it's going to be my last show for a long time, potentially. I'm getting married. I'm going to be in Hawaii. And I don't know if and how I'm going to be on this show. I might come on as like a guest, let one of the other guys host it or something. We'll have to see. But anyways, thank you guys. See you next week. Bye.